And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller, and Dan Fernandez, I think he's down in Disneyland this week, so
I have the fun, I'm sure.
Pleasure of being joined by a new face to Channel 9.
Yes.
Who are you?
Hi. Welcome me to the show, I guess. It's great to be here. My name is Jeff Bertoft, and I'm new to the evangelism team here at Microsoft. I focus on HTML5 and HTML5 inside of Windows 8 apps.
That's awesome. We're so glad to have you on the team, Jeff. And you may know Jeff because he's written a couple books, one book,
HTML. I have my first book coming out, HTML5 Hacks,
yep,
with O'Reilly.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent. So you've been doing HTML since before it was cool, I'm sure.
Since before it was cool.
Exactly. And it is very cool. So I'm glad to have you on the show because we actually have a lot of HTML kind of webby topics today.
Yeah.
But first, let's talk about what's near and dear to my heart, which is the Visual Studio 2012 launch event. Happened on Wednesday here in Seattle, and we had a lot of really great content kicking off the day with Soma and then Jason and Brian and a lot of these guys that you know from the Visual Studio leadership team. And then we have a ton of on-demand content as well. So you can go on the site and you can see a ton of videos on how to use dozens of features that are new to Visual Studio 2012. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was really great for me to be able to see some of the tools that I don't get to work with every day. I mean, the tooling that we have in Visual Studios is so broad. Mm-hmm. I focus a lot of times on the web and the app types of tools, but then to get to see some features that I didn't even know were there, it was pretty exciting.
Any favorites that you really like as a web developer?
So, you know, I am really fond of Visual Studios Express for web.
Yeah.
I know that all of that functionality is within the Ultimate version as well, but mm-hmm. I kind of like to have that tool that just focuses
lightweight
on the web technology.
Targeted, yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. And then Page Inspector, I have to say, is my favorite. From the web features of Visual Studio 2012. This launch actually was really interesting because they made, just as kind of a side interesting note, you'll notice everything here is purple. Everything at the venue was purple. And I swear they must have had every single like purple couch, purple chair, purple everything in Seattle. They even had purple donuts. So no joke, it was pretty insane.
Well, I missed the purple face paint.
Oh, yeah. No purple
okay.
face paint.
Well.
But, maybe the do-it-yourself kit for home.
Yeah.
So this other news that's exciting is that the Windows Store is now open to all developers in 120 markets. So you can now publish your application in most markets worldwide. So I'm sure there's a few that aren't quite ready, but 120 seems like it probably covers most everybody.
Yeah, this is really exciting news for developers. I mean, to have a market that's available and has the coverage to that much of the world mm-hmm. is amazing. I don't know if there's any other company out there who can give you this type of opportunities.
Yeah.
And the fact that we have it available for Windows 8 launch is remarkable.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any apps that you've published or you want to talk about today?
Well, you know, I'm working on my top secret Windows 8 app now, which I'm hoping to have out for the release, but it's fantastic. There's so many different options and so many great tools to work with. I'm sure we're going to see a whole bunch of really great apps from not only for us to produce in all these countries, but for developers in all of these countries to be producing apps for the store.
Absolutely. Localized versions and things that are regionally of interest. So, it's really exciting. So speaking of Express that you mentioned earlier, another request that a lot of people kind of asked for when they saw the Visual Studio 2012 product lineup is they said, hey, we want an Express SKU that allows us to do the traditional WPF or console desktop applications, right? And so the product team listened to that feedback, and on very short order, they were able to spin up a work group. And now, as of Wednesday, they were able to release Visual Studio Express 2012 for Windows Desktop. So you can now go download that. Of course, there's another SKU for building those Windows Store applications that we were talking about.
Yeah.
But this is the targeted SKU for building those WPF types of applications that you might want.
Yeah, there was a lot of demand for that, and it's great that Microsoft was so quick to provide that.
We do listen. Yeah, we do listen. It really is, a lot of people think that they're screaming at forums and user voice for no reason, but those mails do go around, so it does make a difference. So F-sharp tools for Visual Studio Express 2012. I don't know about you, Jeff. I've never written a line of F-sharp in my life, probably never will.
Me neither.
Okay. So, yeah, I know for a lot of people F-sharp is important. I'm not smart enough to understand it, but if F-sharp is kind of your bag, you can now go get F-sharp tools that integrate directly into Visual Studio Tool, Visual Studio Express for web, and so add that compute power to your applications. Now, prior to coming to Microsoft, had you heard about the Imagine Cup?
I have.
Yeah,
it's a big thing, right?
Yeah, it really is. I remember being in the very first Imagine Cup. I think it was in Barcelona, Spain, and just being amazed by the types of applications that these student developers were coming up with. And so now the Imagine Cup 2013 has been announced, several different categories. They tend to have categories that aren't just interesting from a kind of coding perspective, but they also have kind of these humanitarian impact as well in a lot of cases. So what are the categories this year?
So the categories are world citizenship, games, and innovation. I think games are pretty self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. It seems to be a popular category. Innovation, just ways to reinvent ideas that are already out there, or new ideas that we haven't seen before.
Maybe jetpacks.
Jetpacks.
I'm still waiting for my jetpack.
Windows 8-driven jetpacks.
Absolutely.
That's an app waiting to happen.
Yep.
The World Citizenship one is nice as well. It's basically asking you to make an app that could change your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that could be a really exciting category to see come out of this. And Brian, have you seen the prizes that they're offering?
Yeah, there's a lot of money in there. There's not only do you get a trip to St. Petersburg, Russia, which I've always wanted to go to, but it's tens of thousands of dollars, right?
Yeah, this could be life-changing money.
This is
something that could really not only recognize a developer, but help him get started.
Or her
get started in the app market and kind of be a seed for them to take their idea a little further.
Absolutely. And I know a lot of these kids that come out of the competition end up getting job offers from, you know, every major computer company in the world just by virtue of being not even necessarily the winner of the contest, but just being a finalist or getting up there in the final category. So I know a lot of you out there aren't students, but if you know a student, if you are a student, feel free to let them know. And it's really just nothing to say, but a great competition. Yeah. So, near and dear to your heart, Jeff, why don't you take this next story?
Yeah, so WebMatrix 2 hitting its release. It's a pretty exciting tool. If you are a web developer and you haven't worked with WebMatrix, this is a perfect time to get started. So WebMatrix is a really easy interface to get a local server up and running,
mm-hmm.
Connect with an Azure server, push your local copies up to an Azure server that you've set up, and also it's a neat little code editor.
Yeah,
you know, it lets you do quite a bit within the tool itself. There's a lot of improvements over the previous version, and probably one of the best things about WebMatrix is it's free.
Yeah, sure.
So this is an amazing free little tool that helps you really get started on some of those difficult tasks of being a developer.
Now, you may not remember this, but I remember 10 years ago when I first joined Microsoft, we were getting ready to release the very first version of WebMatrix that even predates what we now refer to as WebMatrix 1. Do you remember this?
No.
It was tiny. It was a version of WebMatrix that you could literally, I'm not kidding, fit on a floppy disk. And so it was just kind of this one-off project that a guy on the ASP.NET team started kind of over a weekend and then said, hey, this is a great way for people to build ASP.NET applications in a very lightweight download. And of course, that idea has carried on and lived through.
Yeah.
Now, this is a question I get all the time, and maybe you can help with this. What is the difference between Visual Studio Express for Web and WebMatrix? When do I know which one to use?
Well, so they're very different tools. Visual Studio is a much more comprehensive tool.
Okay.
So WebMatrix, a lot of times I'll find myself using the editor there when I'm working with WebMatrix.
Okay.
And I need to make a small change. If you're working with Node.js, mm-hmm. this is a really great tool for it. A lot of times you got to make a small change in your server.js file or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you open it up and it's not a text file. It's actually color-coded, formatted code right inside of there with autocomplete and those type of things. Visual Studio is whenever you start to do any more comprehensive type of activities where you are either working in an app environment or working on your site, you really want to probably jump back over to Visual Studios for those type of things.
And do my projects go back and forth? Can I open one, shut it?
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely,
that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Very good. So so next up, very related topic here, is there are new Windows Azure features that go along with this.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of different choices out there that we have as developers as to where we want to deploy our code. And some of them have a pretty steep learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
So going along with Web Matrix, the new Azure tools makes a really seamless experience.
For you to go from my idea in Web Matrix to something that's hosted that I can point my mom at.
Yeah, you can start just with a simple file in a folder on your desktop. Web Matrix can help you load it onto your local server and push it up to an Azure server as well. So, you know, the interface, you know, a lot of us, a lot of developers are comfortable with command line, and there's always that option with Azure as well. But this is just kind of a user interface that makes it simple. I think it's going to help a lot of developers get over that initial learning curve.
Sure.
The cloud can seem scary and can seem difficult for a lot of developers. And this is a tool that just walks you right through it.
That's
it easy. Not only makes it easy to get started, but it makes it easy to take your project and push it out into the cloud.
That's great. Very good. And we've got at least a couple more of these. So Web Matrix and Node Package Manager. So what does Node Package Manager do for me?
Okay. Well, anyone who's worked with Node.js before knows that one of the very essential features that we have is Node Package Manager. Node Package Manager really helps us make sure that we have all of the modules that we need into our Node project. Node Package Manager for Web Matrix gives you a visualization of that.
Okay.
It's really easy for us once you load your Node Package Manager up and you get all of your components in there. It's easy to forget what you have in there already and you know what your project is utilizing. Node Package Manager can give you a visualization of that and also gives you access to a list of popular packages that you may be wanting to pull into your project. So again, it just takes something that might be a little difficult for some developers and make it simpler. And then for those developers who are already comfortable with it, it just gives you a user interface to be able to see it.
Okay, fantastic.
So, very nice tool.
Fantastic, good stuff. So Brian Peek, who's been on This Week on Channel 9 in the past, he recently worked on a project here to release a ton of code snippets for Windows Store apps. And so Brian and Clint and some of these other guys on the Channel 9 Coding for Fun team have been building a lot of Windows Store apps recently, and they've found things like you know, how do you copy a file, for example?
Yeah.
And so they've tried to take all of these and solve these problems in a way that can be really easily reusable by other people. So if you're building Windows Store apps, I would encourage you to go download those. And of course, they're available not just in C# and VB, but also in HTML, JavaScript as
well.
That's
right.
Yeah. So that's really good stuff. So this is kind of an interesting article. It's WinRT, everything that are 5 points that developers need to know about Windows RT. And I actually would probably give this a different title because some of this stuff is low-level mechanics that I don't necessarily really care about because I'm programming on top of Windows RT. Mm-hmm. But there is a lot of interesting stuff in here that that I think if you are interested in kind of the underlying mechanics of how WinRT operates as COM objects and what the kind of bridge is between your native or your language projections and how you run that on top of WinRT, this is an interesting article.
Yeah, and it's great. It's kind of a great primer for conversation. Mm-hmm. Sooner or later, someone's going to ask you, well, what is WinRT?
Right.
You know, how does it work? What does it do for you? And this kind of, you know, gave me a way to understand a little bit of the language that you would use to have an intelligent conversation here. And, you know, just a little bit of education on, hey, this is what's really going on.
Yeah.
You know, we're so used to writing on top of it, it's easy to forget what's underneath.
Yeah, absolutely. So so next up, you know, there's a lot of talk about what are the differences between WinRT on x86 and WinRT on ARM. And, you know, there's a lot more that I think a lot more that's similar versus different. But there are some things that mm-hmm. you need to be aware of when you start writing for these ARM devices and programming for WinRT. So this is the one comprehensive, straight from Microsoft guide that is guidance for you to build these WinRT applications on ARM.
Since WinRT looks exactly like Windows 8, the mm-hmm. same environment, it's really easy for us as developers to forget that it's different.
True.
And we get so used to running our tests on Windows 8 and we forget about where it might be different for ARM. You want to read this and make sure that you're following this direction given by Microsoft.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is one of my favorite features that is in Windows 8. I love the fact, as I've been using Windows 8 as my primary machine, I love the fact that when I go out to do things like save an Office document, or really any document that's represented as a Windows Store app, I have the opportunity to easily save that out to SkyDrive without having to save it to my desktop and then go to another interface and upload it to SkyDrive. And the way that that's enabled is with these file picker contracts. So the ability for you to explain to the Windows RT apps that you have an application that either provides files that the user can read from or provides a location for you to write to. And so this article really takes you through in detail. If you're building a cloud service, maybe you're Dropbox or maybe you're mm-hmm. Something similar to that, how do you expose your cloud service in a way that can be surfaced as a file picker within Windows RT applications?
Right. And for those who write your applications in JavaScript, when we think about reasons why we might want to write an app versus mm-hmm. just a website, we don't have access to file picker from a website, which is a good thing.
Right.
So if you need access like that, it's a perfect environment to move into the app and use contracts like these to get access to lower level functionality.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's an excellent point. So next up, we have modern UI icons. And so this is we've talked about a lot of these kind of iconography sets in the past, but this one's just another really great one as well. More than 700 handcrafted 48x48 icons that you can start using within your application. Yep. So not much to say there other than go check it out. And then I'm really glad we have you on the week on this week, because this is a show that's really near and dear to what you look after, Jeff. This is Web Essentials 1.1 is released. So what is Web Essentials?
So Web Essentials is some additional functionality for your Visual Studios. There's some really great examples here if you look through this article. So CoffeeScript is one of them, and we'll talk a little bit more about CoffeeScript later. But if you would try to write CoffeeScript in a JavaScript file mm-hmm. in Visual Studios, you would get all sorts of type of errors, syntax errors, wouldn't know how to color code it. Well, with Web Essentials, you bring in the extra functionality to be able to realize the syntax for some of these sub-languages like CoffeeScript and Jade and languages that are quite common in the web today.
So does that give me color syntax highlighting and IntelliSense?
Yeah.
Both of
code
them.
Code complete,
great.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's really
it's
good.
It's a nice little tool.
What about LowCode? Do they have LowCode implemented yet?
I can't speak to that. I don't know.
Excellent. Well, that's really good. So that's nice to see that that's released and available. So next up, we have this Windows Azure Reference Architecture Diagram. And so this is really nice because there is so much stuff out there in the Windows Azure platform that it can be really hard to kind of wrap your head around what's going on up in the cloud and what are the services that are now available across the Windows Azure platform. I mean, they're always updating and adding new things out there. And so, with IaaS and some of the new things around Windows Azure websites. And so this is the reference architecture that you can, kind of print out and hang in your cubicle or in your office and kind of quickly understand at least what's available so you can dive into these areas and understand more.
Yeah, great for discovery.
Yeah. So this is an article that came from Dare. He's a friend of the show, and he talks about attachments.me connecting SkyDrive with Gmail.
That's right.
Tips for other SkyDrive developers. What's this all about?
So this is a Chrome extension that you can install that allows you in Gmail to be able to attach files that are in your SkyDrive, that are sitting in your SkyDrive. Now, this is functionality that isn't even available for the Google Drive or Dropbox. None of that is available in Gmail. So to have that functionality available for SkyDrive first mm-hmm. is pretty remarkable. There's a lot of developers who use Gmail, And SkyDrive is the best option for cloud storage out there, for personal cloud storage. So to be able to have this little extension that hooks them both up, and you don't have to be pulling files down from SkyDrive mm-hmm. to upload them to an email, this is a nice feature.
And that's
great. I hope it spurs innovation for the other cloud storage makers out there.
Yeah, it's been really exciting to watch SkyDrive evolve as a platform ever since the Build conference last year. So there's certainly a lot of stuff going on there. Which brings us to picks of the week. So my pick of the week here, you know, I love my Windows Phone. I am a thick and through Windows Phone user, looking forward to Windows Phone 8. But if you are needing to storyboard applications for iOS, iPhone, iPad, you might be interested in the new set of iOS icons that we published that work right along with the PowerPoint storyboarding feature we shipped in Visual Studio 2012. So if you're using PowerPoint storyboarding, you can go out to the Visual Studio Gallery now and you can pick up all these iOS icons and start extending your applications in that way.
You know, we've all been doing storyboarding with PowerPoint forever because it's just kind of a really easy tool to mock things up in. So to see the PowerPoint team kind of recognize that and this functionality for us is really nice. Now to be able to extend it and, you know, have these other libraries in here, it just makes it even more and more usable.
Yeah, I agree. It was funny when we first disclosed this. I think it was at Build last year.
Yeah.
And someone came up to me afterwards and they're like, thank you for validating PowerPoint as a storyboarding tool, because everyone was making fun of me before. But it really is great. I mean, it supports animations, templates, shapes, reusable components.
Yep.
And so so it really makes a great tool. Plus, I can send it to anyone regardless of whether or not they're technical. And almost everybody has PowerPoint and understands the medium for being able to tell a story.
Yeah.
So this is your very first pick of the week, sir, so I'll let you take it over.
Okay, so this was a video that was actually just added this week, or possibly last week, but from the Microsoft New Zealand conference, the TechEd conference there, I believe. CoffeeScript, Jade, there's a lot of different languages out there that web developers use today, and when we work on collaborative teams, you never really know what language the other guy is going to bring to the table. So a lot of times, if our tools don't support those languages, it makes it really difficult to you know, to do that type of collaboration. And you end up finding yourself switching different editors because you might be comfortable with Visual Studios, but if it doesn't support CoffeeScript, well, you're going to move over to an editor that supports CoffeeScript to do that section, and it can be a real mess. So with these new Web Essentials tools, Visual Studios now support all of the different languages and subtext and minimum languages that are out there today in the web world.
By using the Web Essentials you talked about.
Yeah, by using the Web Essentials. And so this is a really great presentation on just doing CoffeeScript right in Visual Studios.
Now, what is CoffeeScript and how is that different from classic JavaScript?
Yeah, so CoffeeScript is a language, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of CoffeeScript aficionados out there who will, will totally hate how I'm explaining this, but I'll do my best. So CoffeeScript is a sub syntax for JavaScript.
Okay.
So you actually can write in CoffeeScript. Now, there's going to be some environments like a Node.js. There's a package that will natively run CoffeeScript.
Okay.
In the browser, it actually will render it out as JavaScript in your browser. Mm. So you write in CoffeeScript, it formats it as JavaScript in your browser and then just runs it as JavaScript.
Okay.
But it's a shorthand, basically. It lets you kind of write faster with less code it's very popular both in web development, in the client, and in Node.js and server as well.
Got it. And so it's really just a design time language that then gets converted to JavaScript at runtime.
Well put. Yeah.
And then if you mentioned that on some platforms like Node.js you need a special extension, but can you also just compile that straight from Visual Studio to JavaScript without a platform dependency?
Yeah.
Got it.
And there's a lot of developers who maybe came at JavaScript from a different angle.
Okay.
Who might be more comfortable with stronger types and things like that
sure.
that JavaScript doesn't have. And CoffeeScript allows you to do that.
Got it.
So that kind of helps a lot of developers get over that barrier of JavaScript.
Sounds like a similar approach to what ScriptSharp does, where I can write JavaScript basically in managed code that then compiles to JavaScript. Awesome. Great. Nice pick of the week, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks for having you on the show.
It was great to be here. Thank you.
And I'll actually be out for the next 3 weeks, so you'll be stuck with Dan once he gets back from Disneyland. But thanks for having us, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.